This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cam Black, that's it.
They're dropping like flies.
They're dropping like flies. Please be patient with the workers who are here. No one wants to work these days.
Sad. It's sad, actually.
It's all right, Cam. We will handle it. As we get set to talk sports and other things for the next 3 hours. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was a pretty low-key weekend. Didn't get into too much, so I think I needed that. It wasn't too bad. Enjoyed it. Had a good time with it.
You having a good day-to-day?
Yeah, I am. It's nice to, just be like, playoffs this weekend and look forward to that. Not have to worry about playing games or anything. Just relax until you tip off the real stuff.
That is true. We don't have to worry about that. That is nice.
Big weight off my shoulders.
Big weight off of Cam's shoulders. A pretty fun weekend of college baseball here in Knoxville.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I must say, you went to the first game. How was that?
I went to the first game, and it depends on when you ask me. First inning, it was great.
For sure.
Second inning was still pretty good.
Yep.
Third inning, good. Fourth inning, not so good. And then, Arkansas just kept battling, and, beautiful start, Cam, when you're up
5-0. Yeah, it was a great start.
To lose.
Got the juices flowing.
Yeah, to lose 6-5 was tough. I mean, that was a game. It was a good atmosphere, it was a weird atmosphere just because you jumped out to an early lead. Like, it's the opposite of what I wanted to be as a sports fan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've talked about it on here before, but if I could, paint a perfect picture for my team, we would, fall down early and slowly come back. And, that's the best game in sports, right?
When
your team makes a comeback.
Oh, yeah, that momentum building up just gets you crazy. And I think that really, the fans embrace it and, you get behind the team. And it becomes a fun atmosphere for sure in that situation.
Now, the straight blow 'em out's fun, too. Like, if Tennessee would have scored 5 runs in the first and then put on, two or three more the next couple innings and just, got up big and Arkansas just laid down. That would have been cool. That would have been a celebration. But it hurts when you jump out early and then you just see them slowly just chip away and the game's turned and, it's going to be hard for you to hang on. You're looking at the clock, hoping the clock runs out. You're counting down the outs of how many more outs you need to win, and they just never come. That's the least enjoyable experience as a fan. But yeah, the atmosphere was good. It was a beautiful day. I mean, Friday was perfect. Saturday was perfect. Sunday was cloudy. I didn't go to Saturday or Sunday, but Sunday was cloudy. But, ended up getting pretty sunny and nice by the end of the game. 3 games against the number one team in the country, and, I felt like Tennessee probably should have won the series.
Yeah, no, they definitely have the chance. Like you said, you're up 5-0. You would hope you could hold that lead or at least, like you said, just add a couple more runs later in the game to make you feel comfortable enough where you can hold that down. And then obviously on Sunday, holding them to just 3 runs, you would hope you can eclipse that when they're known, for their bats.
Yeah, and Tennessee, Draven asked the question.
Yep.
If we'd be happy coming out, just kind of like the same Vanderbilt series. And it, to me, was obviously closer than the Vanderbilt series. You can't get closer than 3 straight games of, 1-run games.
Yep.
Whereas Vanderbilt kind of kicked your ass on Friday and Sunday.
Yep.
Tennessee could have swept. Tennessee could have been swept, obviously. I don't discount that Arkansas was really good and that Tennessee won on a 9th-inning walk-off when they were down, 2 runs in the 9th. But I will say that you felt closer, and it hurts that in the close games, Cam, you look and you nitpick a little.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I thought, round of applause for, you know, the freshman pitcher, Blade Tidwell. Sure. He was awesome yesterday.
He was great.
I thought he was out of gas in the seventh inning.
Yeah, you saw it. Yeah, you saw them, and they started chipping away at the hit, so.
Yeah, well, that was in the seventh inning. They chip away, and, you know, they score a run. You're like, okay, there goes the lead. And then, again, you're nitpicking, and you're like, ah, man, I bet Vitello wishes he could have that one back and not put him out there in the eighth inning.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
To give up another run and lose the lead. Like, I thought he had gave you everything he had through seven innings. Now, I know I'm playing the result, but I was talking to enough people during the game. Like, everyone kind of felt like this isn't the right decision.
Yeah.
And then it's always tricky when you have to go to the bullpen with guys on base, just because that's the thing about the bullpen is that, you know, those guys are coming in. Usually you don't know what you're going to get. Like, some guys just come in and they're lights out all the time. Like, I mean, look at Arkansas's closer. I mean, that was a hell of a performance by Kevin Copps. I mean, he probably going to win pitcher of the year, which is pretty amazing. Again, when you look at the talent at Vanderbilt and some of the other schools, but like he was lights out. And, you know, when Arkansas goes to him, they have a pretty good idea of like, hey, this guy's going to come in and be shut down. I think he had you know, went eight appearances without giving up a run before yesterday. Whereas Tennessee, you put a reliever in. If you put him on with somebody on base, it's different. And if one guy doesn't have their best stuff, then you can lose the lead. And Tennessee lost the lead and then turned around and gave up another run in the ninth. And, you know, that ended up being the game-deciding run. That insurance run hurt when they scored it, because you know it was going to be really, really tough to get two off Copps.
Yeah,
Tennessee was able to squeeze one out in the ninth, but couldn't come away with the win. And I thought, you know, I thought Vitello would have liked to have had that one back. I think if, you know, obviously knowing the result, he would. But I just felt at the time, like, hey, let's go with a fresh arm here. Let's not put this kid back out there when he's obviously lost some of his stuff, because he gave up a bunch of base runners in the seventh inning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely.
He clearly was, like, on fumes, and, you know, he was able to get out without losing the without Tennessee being trailing. He lost a lead, but Tennessee was still tied and in a good position. But I thought Vitello kind of messed that one up, and some of the bunting stuff kind of drives you crazy when you're looking at the small ball.
Yeah,
still giving up outs, but obviously we're not going to bash the manager that has gotten Tennessee still in the top five.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Like, Tennessee had no business being in that series with Arkansas. Like, Arkansas is a really, really good team. Like, Tennessee is arriving. I don't know if I would say they've already fully arrived. I mean, you're top five in the country. You keep winning series. You're still first place in the East. But it feels like you still got a little bit further to go to become, like, truly elite. Like,
oh, absolutely.
And I think Tennessee's going to get there. As long as Tony Vitello is here, I obviously think that Tennessee is going to continue to get better. And, you know, that Arkansas team that came in here and beat you 2 out of 3 games, you know, Vitello helped put that team together.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's a big winner of the weekend, even without actually winning the series, just because I thought Tennessee, again, kind of got beat up by Vanderbilt a little bit, at least on Friday and Sunday. I thought Tennessee was every bit as good as Arkansas this weekend. You know, you didn't make some of the plays you had to, and you're still got a little bit further to go, but I thought it was elite baseball weekend. If you're Tennessee, you know, if you could finish the season strong this week and get out to South Carolina and, you know, take 2 out of 3 there, maybe all three, you could still win the East and, you know, maybe find a way to win the entire SEC, or at least tie at the top of the SEC standings, because, you know, some of the other series there are going to help you out. We'll catch a break. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation a little bit because, you know, Tennessee baseball was in the spotlight here this weekend. And I thought they performed pretty well. I thought the fans showed up and it was pretty fun. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Tennessee comes up short, but stays at the top of the SEC East, at least. They're now a game behind Arkansas. Arkansas does have to play Florida this weekend.
Okay.
And Florida's been pretty hot as well. Florida, I believe, what, 2 games back at Tennessee?
Yes, if I remember correctly.
Or I think they're 17-9 there. I think they're actually on 1 game behind. They play at Arkansas, tough for them. But it's good for Tennessee and a chance of maybe trying to catch them.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But you got to feel good, you know, moving forward. Like, that's kind of the thing with those, like, close games you played with Arkansas. On one hand, you're like, man, we could have done something a little more maybe to get those wins. But at the same time, you're like, wow, we were hanging with Arkansas, you know, about as close as you can get. So now you got to feel like you can play with anybody, of course, which I think we kind of already were there. But I think it's a little confidence boost because, like you mentioned, like the Vanderbilt thing, that was your big opponent you played, and they kind of beat you down a couple times. But you hung with Arkansas, and you're like, okay, here we are. We're coming down the stretch in a good spot is kind of what it seems like. So
there's still 1 week to go. Three games. Tennessee goes to South Carolina, who comes off the weekend, you know, feeling good about themselves. They went to Kentucky, and Kentucky's not very good, but went there and, you know, swept them and scored a bunch of runs. They scored, you know, 32 runs in three games. So, like, you know,
yeah,
little quick math there. They're scoring at least 10 runs a game as they won 12-6, 9-0, and then 11-6. So their bats are feeling pretty good as they, you know, get a home series against Tennessee. It's not going to be an easy series for Tennessee. By any means.
No, not at all. They're a solid team. And like anytime you're playing in the SEC, it's not necessarily an easy series at all. So they do need to keep it moving, though. Like you said, they're in real contention for, you know, winning the East, of course. And maybe even, you know, if they get a little lucky and Arkansas slips up a little bit, you can, you know, win the conference. But
this next week's going to be fun. And then going into the SEC tournament where, I mean, it's going to feel like any of, like, six teams are going to feel like they have a chance of winning.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yes. Florida, like I said, has been playing really well. That's, you know, a team that was ranked number one in the country at the beginning of the year. They are 17-10. They are right on Tennessee's heels, a game behind them, half game behind Vanderbilt. And then the West, I mean, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas are all really, really good.
Yep.
And, like, LSU and Alabama aren't bad. So, like, the SEC tournament is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully Tennessee can, you know, just take care of business one more time on the road and, you know, get us in a position where we're hosting a regional. And Vitella talked about it after the game because did you see the dust up?
I did. The game?
Vitello and Dave Van Horn getting into it. You had Vitello.
It looked intense.
Yeah. And like, there's some history there.
Yeah.
It looked, doing a little lip reading, it looked like Dave Van Horn hitting with how about that? Mother bleeper.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like to me when I was reading it.
I think he was a little salty about how much, you know, we were celebrating after that walk-off on Saturday. I think that kind of spilled over to Sunday, so.
Well, I didn't think it, like, spilled over in the sense of, like, there was no dirty play. There was no, like, throwing baseballs at somebody. But I thought Arkansas celebrated after they won, which, you know, you're entitled to.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought Tennessee was entitled. You know, it's a good atmosphere. It's, you know, second biggest win of Tennessee baseball in the last 5 years.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
If not the first biggest. I mean, the walk-off against Vanderbilt felt bigger at the time just because it's Vanderbilt and – or it was a walk-off. I guess it's the eighth inning bomb, but still. You know, whatever. Both of them, 1A, 1B. Tennessee celebrated. Max Ferguson was feeling himself going around third base. He says he was talking to the fans. I would understand if Arkansas felt a certain type of way about it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, yeah, like you said, like, it didn't carry over to the field with any dirty plays or anything like that. But I do think that was in the back of his mind, you know, when they get that win at the end. And he's like, okay, I'm going to rub it in a little bit. But, okay, we won the series. Like, I know you guys had that big celebration yesterday for getting one game. Well, we took the whole thing, so.
Vitello with a pros move. He's a younger guy, but he's smart enough to know to keep the face guard up whenever you go face to face. You could say a little bit of something without somebody reading your lips.
Absolutely, that's the best part of it.
Although he did drop it as they walked a little closer to, or as he was walking towards right field.
Yeah,
but I do think Dave Van Horn dropped a "how about that mother bleeper" in his face.
Man, Dave Van Horn wasn't willing to comment really on what was said after the fact, of course. But
he didn't say what was said, but he did say that Tennessee, for one reason or the other, the visiting locker room had no hot water.
Yeah. I hope we turned it off. I hope we really did.
You do set yourself up to some jokes whenever your facilities are so bad, though.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, it's one thing if you have, like, a really nice facility and you're out of hot water, then I'm like, okay, we cut it off. It's another thing when your stadium's low-key kind of a dump.
Yeah, and so you could just be like, yeah, stadium was.
And Arkansas fans are just pointing to that, like, hey, this is one of the worst venues in the South. Like, they probably just had bad pipes. Which, I mean, that's going to be the next discussion. I mean, I know there's still plenty of this season to enjoy, and, you know, there's going to be big games coming. But, like, what did this weekend do for the administration? You know, over 10,000 people there for a weekend series. Yep. You know, at $10 a pop, I mean, that's a good chunk of change for Tennessee.
Yeah.
For a weekend series, I mean, $10 a pop. I don't know if there are any other more expensive tickets or whatever. I paid $10 to get in.
You know, yeah, I think of course, resale value, obviously, it was higher.
Right, but that doesn't help the school.
Yeah.
But, like, you were on, you know, you were on front and, you know, front and center. You were on full display.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the Tennessee fans showed up and...
And you hung with Arkansas, number one team in the country, so...
And it was good. You know, obviously, you would have liked to have gone on Happy Sunday, but... There's going to be pressure on Tennessee to make a financial commitment. Like, I think they'll give Vitello a substantial raise.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has earned that, obviously, and Danny White. Smart enough to know that you have to make it clear that Vitello is your man and that you're happy to have him and that you're going to commit. Now, I don't know if Tennessee's going to win a bidding war if you have other schools get in the mix.
Yeah.
Like, Texas A&M's just going to have more money than Tennessee to spend on baseball.
Yeah, absolutely.
They gave Jimbo Fisher $75 million, for God's sake. Like, they're going to make it hard for him to say no if they go after him. And it's almost assuredly they will be going after him because they're going to fire, or their coach really, I think his contract just expires, but they're going to let him go. So Tennessee is going to have to make a financial commitment to Vitello, and they're going to have to get the ball rolling on these renovations.
Yeah, I think the renovations are going to really come with a heavy push and in the forefront. If we get one of these regionals that obviously we should get, I think, you know, if you got fans coming in from other places and you got our fans, I think it's just going to be one of those things like, yeah, it's on national television. People are going to see it and people are going to be like, we got to do better.
I think I read somewhere that they're going to try to do like some temporary bleachers on the left side for the...
Okay.
For like if Tennessee does host a regional to accommodate more fans, because
that's good, but
it's
still
embarrassing sitting there, like seeing just all that empty space, like could fit in another 4,000 or 5,000 or, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
At least, you know, 2,000.
But yeah, I mean, like, you're gonna get the fans that come in and they're gonna talk about the facilities. Like, that's gonna be something that, you know, you're gonna see out there and things like that. So I think that's gonna really, you know, the ball's probably already rolling on, hey, we probably need to upgrade this stuff. But that will, I think, really add some momentum to that when you got, you know, all these other people coming in as well. Like, you know, like, we recognize as Tennessee fans, but it's not the greatest facility already. Like, of course,
when other fans
come in, they're going to be like, oh. Like,
that's putting it nicely, saying it's not the greatest facility. The facilities suck.
Yeah. And I think other fans are going to realize that when they come in. They're like, wow, this place got a regional? Like, and I think that's going to really put some motivation behind the boosters and the university to just be like, okay, we need to upgrade this as soon as possible if this is where our baseball program is going to be at.
And I will say that, you know, I mean, I think that's going to be the expectation moving forward here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't seem like, you know, we talked about it last week, but, like, whenever you had Crochet last year and, you know, you have a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Big lefty throwing, you know, 100 miles an hour. And you're looking, and I know you didn't really get to experience him in SEC play. I mean, you didn't last year. But it's not like you have, like, an ace at the top of your rotation. Tennessee's kind of piecing this together. It's not like they have the superstars. And I would imagine that this team is, you know, going to just continue to get better every year. So, like, I would say moving forward here, Tennessee baseball is going to expect to be a top 16 team.
Yeah, you wouldn't think this is just like a, like, this obviously isn't just like a flash in the pan where we just had one good year. Stuff like that. Like, we've been building towards this. And like you said, like, I think it could only, you know, keep continuing to go up from here, get some better pitchers in there, stuff like that, and just fill out the roster a little more.
I'm not saying Tennessee can do that every year, but, like, the expectation should be like, hey, we're going to be hosting fans of three other teams.
Yeah.
You know, come. Yeah. May or June, whenever, I mean, I think it's May on normal years, you know, you come here and we need to have a better facility because we're going to be among the big boys of college baseball.
You
so
don't want to be the laughing stock there.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to put lots of pressure on them to get something done.
And President Boyd, I mean, he's in the baseball game himself.
Yeah.
we'll see. I know he keeps trying to say, like, hey, you know, Tennessee, you're playing in this brand new, you know, downtown Knoxville stadium is not the worst thing. And Vitello's like, no, I want it on campus. Although I will say, I was looking forward to the legends of Lindsey Nelson, and I was disappointed. I know they went home. I know they went home. It's not, you know, it is what it is. We had mentioned that last week, but I was missing the rowdy students. I hadn't got to see them in person yet, so I was a little disappointed with that.
That is unfortunate. That is unfortunate. We're gonna have to get some new legends out there. We need new people to rise to the top, take the reins, become somebody, be a leader.
Cam's laid down the gauntlet, people. I feel like Vitello is going to make that a point of emphasis next year. Like, hey, guys, I'm really good to you here. I love you guys. Like, I've reserved these seats for you. We're working together. I need you to commit to not abandon us during the biggest series of the year.
Right.
And we're going to need you for the regionals.
Gotta come back. Gotta come back.
That'll do it for Tennessee baseball talk. I thought it was a successful weekend. It stinks that you come up short again. But again, I thought Tennessee was close. I thought Tennessee was very, very close and kind of solidified that they are, a top-level team. Now, we'll see because, again, I'm not, like, penciling Tennessee into, like, the SEC championship game by any means. Like, this SEC baseball tournament is going to be a dogfight.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought Tennessee put on a good show. All right, stick with us. We'll switch gears after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The NBA play-in tournament is here. Tuesday, the Eastern Conference tips off. You'll get the Western Conference on Wednesday. So at least some teams still have one last shot to make the playoffs. However, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving everyone a shot this round, risk-free. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. FanDuel has teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith to make sure you'll get your money back if you don't win. That's nice. Any user, any bet type, any game. The NBA play-in tournament is going down May 18th through the 21st. And FanDuel Sportsbook is letting you get in on the action with their play-in palooza. If you already have a Sportsbook account, just open the app, opt in, claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS to get your first bet risk-free back up to $1,000. Cam, you looked at the first four lines yet? We got the Pacers and Hornets. That's the real reason Draven's sick is his Hornets fell all the way to the 10th seed.
You need the buzz on out of here to avoid us talking about it, I guess.
Pacers, Hornets, the Celtics open up. I mean, this is a wild sentence to me. I mean, just thinking about it. I mean, especially when you saw the beginning of the year and the Wizards were 3-15. But the Celtics, 1-point favorites at home against the Wizards. I got to say, it's hard for me not to advise taking the Wizards plus one in that situation.
I think I'm with you on that for sure.
The Wizards have been one of the best five teams since April. The Celtics have been trash.
Yeah. Oh, you can even get them at plus two right now.
Plus two now? Yeah. Okay. I saw it opened at one, so it's going up to plus two.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I feel like the Wizards are better right now. Mm-hmm. And, Cam, I feel like it much like most of the time in sports, the team who cares the most and wants to be there the most, you know, I'll ride with them. And it seems like the Wizards like each other as a team, and the Celtics can't wait to get to Cancun.
Sounds about right. So, I'm definitely with you on riding with the Wizards here. I think they are more excited to have this shot in the playoffs than the Celtics are.
So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code TALKSPORTS if you're new. If you already have an account, just opt in and claim your risk-free bet. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund is issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New users, risk-free bet for first real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Cam, as we get through, now that the regular season's over, this last weekend had a lot of tanking.
It did.
Some teams jockeying for position. It had some big games with play-in implications, you know, kind of spearheaded yesterday by the Warriors and Steph Curry.
Man.
Dismantling the Grizzlies over the last 6 minutes of that game to lock up the 8 seed and a matchup against the Lakers. What was your big takeaway from the last weekend?
Steph was definitely a big one. He got his second scoring title, of course, in a big way. was unstoppable late in that game, of course, the takeover. When the Grizzlies made a nice little comeback, you know, to take the lead even at one point in the fourth quarter. But then Steph Curry, you know, turned it on there for sure. I also think, do you think Denver kind of laid down a little bit? Like, I know they were playing their starters.
I mean, I thought Denver laid down, but I thought, like, Denver laying down didn't really have as much of an implication. They needed the Clippers to win. The Clippers were the team that laid down.
That's fair, yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to be mad at the Nuggets, who have at least been injured this season. Like, they were trying to they knew the win didn't matter, but they were also trying to stay healthy. I mean, I thought both the Nuggets and the Clippers were trying to stay out of the 3 seed. You know, it's kind of what we talked about yesterday, but Thursday or Friday. The 1 seed felt wide open against the Jazz, and then you looked at the 4 and 5. Like, both those teams felt like they had an easier route to the conference finals than, like, the 2, 3, 6 and, 6 and 7. That seemed like a much tougher draw. I think, honestly, it's pretty soft. Not of the Nuggets, but of the Clippers.
Yeah.
For the Clippers, too. I mean, they've been talking all this stuff over the last, 2 years.
Absolutely.
The last 2 seasons about how tough they are and how they're going to be the new team in L.A., the new face of L.A. They're the new, standard for basketball.
Yep.
In Los Angeles, for them to be all of a sudden like, owie, no, we don't want to play the Lakers. Let's bench our guys. That way we can lose and be the, the 5 seed or the 4 seed.
Yeah.
That seemed pretty soft. Like, you can't be the bully on the block and then throw in the towel and tank.
Oh, yeah, not at all. And I just saw a lot of people who were kind of like, oh, Denver's just trying to avoid the Lakers.
Well, the Nuggets are doing the same thing. But, the Nuggets, I don't feel like have been puffing their chest out. Like, I don't know about you, but especially, once Jamal Murray went out. But, I view the Nuggets and Clippers two different ways. Like, the Nuggets are good. They got the MVP, don't get me wrong. But, they ain't been, woofing about how they want the Lakers. Like, it's the Clippers that have been telling everybody for over the last 2 years, hey, this is our time now.
Yeah. And they looked like they did not want the smoke yesterday, so.
I wonder what that does mentally to a team.
Yeah, I feel like it makes you, not in a good situation going forward when you actually face that team you're trying to avoid. You already come in, I don't know.
The Clippers are coming into the playoffs, and they're going to play the Luka and the Mavericks, and they should win that series. They just have 3 guys that they can at least try to bother Luka with.
Yeah.
But when you come into the playoffs losing 2 in a row to the Rockets and Thunder, obviously that was intentional.
Yeah.
Obviously you did not want the smoke, as you put it, Cam, with the Lakers, potentially. Because I don't think they were doing that to, avoid the Trailblazers, right? Like, they weren't doing that to avoid the 6 seed. I thought it was pretty soft to the Clippers.
Yeah.
Now, it might work out. Maybe you're able to beat the Mavericks and then go out there and beat the Jazz, and you're in the conference finals, and you feel like, hey, we accomplished our goal. Although, I think with the Clippers, your goal is to win the championship.
Yeah, absolutely.
You just can't talk tough, and then
Hide
when it comes time to
Rockets and Thunder. Jeez.
Yeah, they turn around and lost to the Rockets and Thunder.
Jeez, Hawks are playing their third string, beating down the Rockets. Lord of mercy.
Yeah, you gotta be really trying to lose to the Rockets at this point and the Thunder. You gotta really be trying, and they did, and they got it. And I just think the Clippers are soft, and when they get eliminated at some point this year, we'll look back on this and say, yeah. Probably not good to, mentally handicap your team. Go ahead and chop one of their legs out from under them right before the playoffs even begin.
Yep.
Soft. Soft.
Did you see that absurd play in the Nets game?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that Blake Griffin just no look.
Well, the Nets are ready to go. The Nets are here. They lock up the 2 seed. They're here. They're winning. They've won 5 in a row. Kyrie finishes, I believe they said, as the 8th player ever to have 50, 40, 90.
Yeah, so I think 50%. He was the 9th.
9th, okay. Yeah. So 8 people have done it before him.
Yep.
50% from the field, 40% from three.
He's no Tony Snell, but
he shoots a little bit more than Tony Snell, who had a 50-50-100 season, which was the first ever. But Kyrie's, I was more impressed with Kyrie's.
Yeah, a starter volume scorer. If it,
right.
Yeah, if it does that, it's very impressive. So,
but the Nets come in winning 5 in a row. They're set up. They get the winner of Boston and Washington round one. They should mow through both of those teams. And then we'll see what happens in Milwaukee, Miami. I mean, that's a put up or shut up series for both of those teams because
it's gonna be a fun one.
The Heat could have kept winning and, you know, avoided the Bucks, but instead they kind of laid down on Saturday. Jimmy Butler didn't play. They kind of laid down, took an L, locked them into the 6th seed. So now they get to play Milwaukee, a team that they embarrassed last year in the bubble.
Yeah, I do not think they're scared of them at all. So I think they are welcoming this matchup again.
But I feel like if you're Milwaukee, you want this too, right?
Yeah, you at least come in very motivated after what happened last year, like you said. Like you come in like, okay, we can't let that happen again. Gotta beat these guys. You would like to embarrass them the way they embarrass you. So yeah, I think this is gonna be a very heated, very fun series for sure. That Bam Giannis matchup is gonna be fun as always. But
someone's gonna get embarrassed in round one.
Yeah,
I mean, I feel like the Heat, if they lose, I mean does that delegitimize, you know, their culture? Does that delegitimize their run last year? Because, you know, nothing really changed.
Yeah,
you lost Jay Crowder and they added Drew Holiday, but like,
I'd say
the guts of the team are the same.
I'd say it depends on how they lose it. Like, if they lose 5-1, I think, yes, it kind of goes.
You mean lose 4-1 and 5?
Yeah, 4-1 and 5, yeah. Or if they, you know, take it to 7, you're like, okay, I mean, Milwaukee's the better team. Miami, you know, still was fighting to the end basically there. But, yeah, if they, you know, only get one game or so out of the series, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that was a fluke last year. They just all, you know, hit their stride, got hot, lucked out a little bit last year. They're not actually that good of a team.
I feel like the Heat positioned themselves there, so they need to go out and get it done.
Yeah.
And for the Bucks, I mean, it doesn't feel as vital as it did last year. I mean, if you remember last year in the bubble, Cam, like, as they're getting embarrassed by the Heat, it felt like, yeah, Giannis is definitely out of there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, Giannis ain't signing the extension. Giannis is definitely out of there. So they don't come in with as much pressure this year in that regard because Giannis has signed the Supermax.
Mm-hmm.
But when they get set to play the Heat, like, if they lose in the first round again, like, you know, that would obviously get their coach fired. Buds would be out of there.
Yeah.
Maybe you start looking around and trying to, like, reshape the roster around him and say, hey, we got to find something somewhere for Middleton to go and try to switch things up.
Yeah, they'll have to do some soul-searching if they go out like that.
Well, they should have already done that last year when the Heat punked them, you know, in the second round last year. That should have been the time for soul-searching. Mm-hmm. So
their soul-searching was Drew Holiday.
And, I mean, I think Drew Holiday's been really good for them. I mean, there's no arguing that Drew Holiday is much, much better and has been for them than what Eric Bledsoe was. So, like, they are improved. But they have been in that situation where some teams get, and it happens in every sport, you know, just here locally, like, to me, it feels like it's going to happen to Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah, it's cool. Show me in the postseason.
Yeah.
Show me in the playoffs.
Yeah. You can get kind of content with winning in the regular season. Like, yeah, if we're winning, like you said, Tennessee basketball, like, yeah, if you're winning 20-something games every year, but when you get knocked out in the first round, you're going to get a little fed up.
And they didn't. They didn't take the regular season to the same level they did this year. They kind of learned their lesson. They kind of coasted at the beginning of the year and tried to figure things out, and they lost some games because they're trying to work on rotations and how they're going to play defense and trying to get more playoff ready.
Yeah.
So they haven't gone hard after the 1 seed. They've kind of realized, hey, you know, same for Giannis. Whatever we do in the playoffs, that's what's going to matter. Like, Giannis ain't going to come close to sniffing MVP this year. When he's had a year basically on par with the other two MVP seasons, because people are like, yeah, we don't believe you. We don't believe you're the most valuable player because you can't win when it matters, so we already have this bias against you. So he, much like the Bucks, is going to have to prove it in the playoffs, and you might be able to lose a close series to the Nets and survive. Although I do think if Milwaukee and, you know, Brooklyn does match up in the second round, that'll be pretty fun. from a matchup standpoint, mm-hmm. just because, you know, Giannis and KD.
Yeah, that would be fun for sure.
Like, feel like the same size. Like, if there's one guy that's going to be out there guarding KD, it's probably Giannis.
Yep.
Drew Holiday is built to guard Kyrie, and then, you know, Middleton tries luck at Harden. I mean, like, you know, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Like, they match up pretty well with them. But if they lose a close series to Brooklyn, like, you don't feel like you had a failure of a season. If they lose to Miami, that's a big, big disaster.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's entirely possible, too.
Oh, honestly. Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's the one, like, you know, top three seed that's going to be in trouble.
Yep.
Or at least, like, going to be in a battle. I think, well, never mind. I guess we need to wait to see. But if the Lakers play the Suns, like, yeah.
Yeah,
the
they're going to be in some danger there.
Same as the Jazz. So, like, yeah, that's the other wild card here is the Lakers are just kind of lingering.
Yeah. Nuggets only 2-point favorites at home against the Trailblazers.
I mean, the Blazers are on fire. The Blazers are on fire, and, you know, that's a...
And Dame's a problem sometimes.
That's a series they played, what, 2 years ago, and the Blazers beat them?
Yeah.
That'll be a fun series. Yeah, this feels like a pretty good chance for Portland to win a series.
Yeah.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. If you had to pick right now, Cam, finals matchup, who you got?
Ooh, I'm going to lean Nets-Lakers, I guess. I guess I'll go chalk.
Nets-Lakers?
Yeah.
It feels pretty open. There are a lot of permutations out there that are realistic, and you could convince me that there's a, you know, there are a lot of matchups that you could convince me of. I mean, any of the top three teams in the East, I see the path for them making the finals.
Oh, for sure.
Any of those three teams, the Sixers, Nets, and Bucks, and I'll say I see a scenario where the Heat get there and the Hawks. Now the Hawks feel like, you know, they're a little bit away from that, but you know, if they got hot against that Sixers team,
the shooting ability they have, yeah,
the shooting ability, and you never know with Embiid's injury history, and then like, you know, if you played the Nets, then it'd be tough, but you'd have to hope for like a self combustion. I mean, but really, it's really the top three teams, and maybe the Heat, just because they were there last year, maybe they got another gear, but I don't feel like they're as good as those other teams.
Yeah, not at all.
But what they're going to bring to every series is toughness. And, like, you know, the Sixers, Nets, and Bucks have never been to the finals.
Yeah.
You know, as they're currently constructed. Obviously, I know the Sixers got some championships in the 80s and the, you know, sort of the Bucks way back in the day. But like,
and obviously, like, Durant's been to.
Yeah, and Durant's been to. But the way this team's constructed, you know, none of those three teams have been to the finals, and the Heat have. Mm-hmm. So I at least give them a little bit of respect. And then in the West, I mean, you could tell me that, hey, LeBron rolled his ankle again last night, and LeBron's not going to be ready to go. And they just aren't good enough to beat a Utah or Phoenix team. There's not enough team cohesiveness. They haven't been playing together.
Mm-hmm.
They're still injured. They lose. Or you could convince me that the Jazz and Suns, you know, just catch fire, and CP3 finally gets his moment, or the Jazz just continue to hit a bunch of threes, and they're able to get there. You could tell me the Clippers and Kawhi and Paul George finally put it together. That Kawhi is back to like Toronto Kawhi and carries a team.
Yeah, there's lots of options. The West is tight too on the odds for the Western Conference Championship.
I would assume the Lakers are still the favorite despite having to play in the play-in game. Am I correct?
Yes, the Lakers are the favorite at +240.
+240.
Yep.
Who has the second best odds?
The Clippers at +260.
Okay, so the Clippers at +260.
And then right behind them is the Jazz at +270.
Okay, and the Suns?
Suns are +750.
Oh, wow, so the Suns are not getting a lot of respect because they have to play
the Lakers, yeah.
Yeah, but everyone's going to have to, well, I mean, I guess everyone has to outlast the Lakers, but not everyone is going to have to beat them, I guess.
And, yeah, they're projecting, of course, the Lakers to get that 7 seed, obviously, and, you know, play Suns first round, so. But super tight for those top three odds there.
I mean, I understand the Lakers still being the favorite, even though they're going to be, you know, in a situation where they have to win a game out of two. But we all think they will win one of those two games. I mean, even if they lose to the Warriors and have to go, which would be a nice little wrinkle because I think everyone's penciled the Lakers in at 7. If the Warriors somehow beat the Lakers, I would kind of like to see a Chris Paul Steph Curry series. I'd like to see that happen. And, you know, the Lakers all of a sudden roll through the 8 seed, which would be kind of funny for the the Clippers, who tried to lose to get away from them in the second round. All right, so Lakers plus 240. What about the East?
The East isn't quite as tight. The Nets are the favorites at plus 105.
Man, so basically even money to win the East. And again, I get it. They got more top-end talent than anybody in the entire league. They have three top 12 players. I always say that with Kyrie because I don't know where to put him.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel right calling him top 10, but, I mean, the season he's had feels top 10-ish when you go 50-40-90. But
absolutely.
They have three top 12 players. They have more top-end talent than anybody on, you know, anybody in the league. However, they are, you know, dealing with relying on Blake Griffin, and we got to see if Blake Griffin can make it through, you know, three rounds of playoffs.
Yeah.
While,
yeah.
you know, he's probably going to have to guard Giannis or Embiid at times. Like, I mean, he's going to get banged around a bit. But the Nets, basically even money, plus 105 over on FanDuel. Second place, I would assume the Sixers.
It is the Sixers at plus 260. And then followed by the Bucks at plus 350.
That seems, those odds seem wrong when it comes to the Bucks. It seems like they should be more like in the Phoenix Suns range.
Yeah.
Just simply because, like, they're going to have a much tougher first-round series than those other two teams are.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Like, you're not getting much value at all betting on the Bucks there.
Nope. I really don't – I don't know how I feel about the Sixers. Like, I feel like they should be a good team at, like this you – know, like, we know as obviously where they are seated and stuff like that. Like, they should be a contender. But at the same time, I just – they never really seem to have it all together for some reason. Concerns me. I don't know.
It just depends on which Embiid you get.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the interesting thing to, on a couple of these guys because, you know, playoff defenses are a real thing. And, you know, I'm a little worried about that. I'm really just fascinated to see what Tom Thibodeau does against Trae Young, like, and how he defends. Because, I mean, Tom Thibodeau, you know, for basically the better part of 15 years at least, has been, you know, credited as being the best defensive mind in the league.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, going back to, you know, being the defensive coordinator, basically, of that 08 Celtics team with Kevin Garnett, like, you know, going to New York and the defense they played.
Yep.
Or, excuse me, going to Chicago and the defense they played with Derrick Rose and knowing them. He's turned the Knicks into a top five defense. So I'm interested to see what he throws at Trae Young to bother him in his first series. I'm interested to see what teams try to do it to Embiid because it feels like he is susceptible to the double team. And then I'm interested to see what the Heat try to do to Giannis again. Has Giannis figured out a move because, you know, they knew how to guard him last year.
Yeah, they did.
Has he found a counter? Will he be able to do something different or will Bam and the Wall kind of shut him down again? The chess match of playoff series is a lot more fun.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love it.
Watch the teams go back and forth. What do some of these young stars do in their first taste? Because they're, you know, talking about the Knicks, Julius Randle. He's had an all-NBA season. What does he have in store for the playoffs? Can he go up another level? Same as Trae Young.
Oh, I'm so excited to watch the young guys out there trying to get it done. See if they can just click to that playoff gear that, you know, some of these vets have.
Can VFL, Tobias Harris, who had a really good season, can he finally... Mm-hmm. Like, be that guy that the Sixers have been waiting because last year he was off on the playoffs.
Yeah.
To the point where it looked like he might be out with Al Horford. But, you know, Tobias stayed and had a really, really good year. He fell just short of the 50-40-90 club. He had 51% from the field, 39.4% from three, and 89% from the free throw line. So he was just short.
Okay.
While scoring, you know, 19.5 points a game. That's the highest he's had, you know, since getting to Philadelphia. Or I guess last year he was at 19.6, so never mind. But I mean, he was much more efficient this year.
Mm-hmm.
Field goal percentage went up damn near 40%.
Yeah. Jeez.
3-point percentage went up almost 30%. Like, he was much, much better. Can he come through for them and be that second scorer that they're going to need to go to the finals? What does Devin Booker do in his first situation? We saw him last year in the bubble.
Yeah.
Can he do that? Can Luka have another moment? Can he take a step? Can Kawhi, again, get back to that? Will Paul George come up with one clutch shot in his entire career?
In the playoffs, yeah.
Can he do it? MVP Jokic, would he feel like he was a fake MVP if he lost in the first round? Can Dame get over the hump? I mean, there are some stars and some big storylines here. And then, of course, we'll see about the Lakers and Warriors and where they end up seated. Yeah. But of course, LeBron James and Steph Curry are going to feel like they're going to be they're going to feel like the favorites wherever they play.
Yeah, yeah, you can obviously never count out either of their teams that they're on.
So. I know that Warriors team isn't going to be favored over either Utah or Phoenix. Yeah. I know that those teams are better than Golden State, but like Golden State has championship pedigree.
Yeah.
And like credit to Steph Curry and really credit to Draymond Green too. Draymond Green's been awesome as like his sidekick, and just watching them play a two-man game really is a thing of beauty.
Oh, it was gorgeous down the stretch yesterday against Memphis. How, you know, they have very good chemistry.
Oh yeah, it doesn't get enough talk about, you know, for a two-man game. I think when people think of the Warriors, they think of Steph and Clay, but to me, like, Draymond has always been kind of vital in that. And, you know, he scored 14 points yesterday, but 9 assists, 9 rebounds. He was awesome. And, you know, kind of helped facilitate that offense. Him and Steph will go into whatever series it is feeling like they should be favored, feeling like they're the team to beat. And then, of course, we know the Lakers the same way. So, I'm pumped for the playoffs. I thought we got some pretty good matchups. It took a little tanking. It took a little jockeying to get the matchups needed.
Looking forward
to it. I like them. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.